The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Wow. Hello, everybody. Wow. How's it going? Happy Friday to you, America. Jeez, hello. Have you ever had one of those days where you can't catch up? And I don't know what it is. I took some of the, it's not melanoma, it's melatonin. I keep getting that wrong, so I don't have cancer. I'm having a problem sleeping, getting to sleep at night. And I don't know what it is, for whatever reason, I'm just so busy that I can't get to sleep. So I went to the Costco, and I bought one of these, I don't know, it's... 1,500 little pills, you know, the little gummy bear things that you can chew. And the thing is massive. It's like for the Waltons family. I mean, it's like, or for the Duggar family. It's just like, there's no way I'll be able to, you know, like consume all of these during my natural lifetime. But anyway, all that to say, so Dylan and I accidentally OD'd last night. I didn't realize, but one of them, and they're like purple flavored. So I took three instead of two.
And how are you awake?
I don't know. I don't think I am awake. I'm sort of sleepwalking here. But anyway, I didn't wake up till like 9 this morning. And normally I'm up like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning to get ready for the show, which means that I am not prepared, because even though I'm under the influence of sleeping pills, we're going to have a great show. And the good news is I'm not wearing pajamas. So, you know, that could have gone very wrong, Dylan. I'm just saying. So there you go.
Glad you're in a suit and tie today.
Thank you. Anyway, so we got a lot to talk about today, but I've got to figure out a way. Why do I keep calling it melanoma? The melatonin. I'm not sure that's a good move for me. I'm going to have to back away from it. And I'm trying to, if you have a good, on this open line Friday, if you've got a good remedy to help Todd Starnes go to sleep, I would love to hear it. Because I have the air conditioning set at 67 degrees, you know, everything, no lights on, but I'm going through this weird, like, Todd can't sleep cycle. So there you go. I have a question for you, and this is for all you parents out there. If your kid did something wrong, like your kid broke the law, would you rat them out to the police? Would you pick up the phone and call the police? Say you're watching TV and you see this video and the anchor is coming on the TV screen. You know how these local news anchors are. This just in, we have breaking news. The police want you to look at this face. Do you know who this person is? Why do all of the local news anchors talk like that? Has anybody ever figured that out? Anyway, you see this person, and they're doing something wrong, and the police have the video, and they want you to call in. Would you turn in your child? If your child was the one responsible for doing this awful thing, would you turn your kid in to the authorities? Would you pick up the phone and call 911 and say, come and get him? What would you do? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number today. That's 901-260-5926. Well, no, Dylan, no. Let's just assume, for the sake of our argument, there is no reward. So, Dylan, would you turn your kid in if $10,000 reward?
Yes. Just going to say that.
You would do it for cash.
He's probably not picking up my call, so.
You would rat the kid out for cash.
Go get him, boys.
All right. There you Okay. So the reason I ask this is because there have been a couple of incidents. One of them yesterday, and this is getting a lot of national attention. So we told you about how the pro-Hamas mob has been desecrating all of these monuments and memorials all over the country. But one in particular has really gotten under the skin of a lot of people, and it's the World War I Memorial in Central Park. I used to walk by that memorial just about every single day. Beautiful memorial. And this mob showed up. They desecrated the memorial. They burned an American flag at the base of this beautiful memorial, and it was all photographed. They videoed and photographed the entire thing. And so the NYPD is just enraged over this, and I think this was the line in the sand. This was the line in the sand, and the NYPD said, this is enough. This is, we're done here. So they said, we need your help in finding out who did this. So there's a guy, and he is literally just, I guess, watching TV, and he realizes as they're showing this video that it's his son. His 16-year-old son is there, and he is vandalizing the World War I Memorial. And it's fascinating because this guy, this dad in New York City, picks up the phone, and he actually calls the police and said, that's my kid. That's my kid. So the NYPD has shared a photograph, or rather they shared a photograph on their social media. The kid is now in custody. They photographed him handcuffed to a chair. And the deputy police commissioner says, hey, look, this is not a case of kids just goofing around. This isn't like juvenile hijinks. This is an act of desecration. The people in that video desecrated this statue, and they should be held accountable. So the high school junior, this kid's 16 years old, he's a high school junior, and he is now facing felony charges along with misdemeanor charges. I mean, the kid's in big trouble here. And I got to tell you, I can't imagine what this dad is going through. I don't know anything about this dad. I don't know his politics. I don't know any of this stuff. But I do know this, that it has to be a painful thing for a parent to go through, to have to turn their own kid into the police. But hopefully, and you know the kid, clearly the kid's messed up in the head, but hopefully because of this dad's behavior and what this dad did, it's going to shock his son back into reality, and maybe this kid grows up to be a productive member of society instead of some sort of, I don't know, patchouli-scented loon living in a tent. And I say that because there's another story. This one from, believe it or not, Memphis, Tennessee, Fox 13. A mother here in Memphis turned her daughter in for murder after seeing her daughter's face on the news. The Memphis Police Department says 26-year-old Kenyatta Hayes shot a man and stole $60 from the guy. His body was found in a park, and the video shows the woman, the suspect, leaving the scene just after the guy had been killed. The video ran on the news later that night, and the suspect's mother said, oh, that's my daughter, and turned her in. So good for you, Mom. What a terrible story. But I'm curious, would you turn your child in? 901-260-5926. Let's go to Jackson, Tennessee. Mitch is listening to us on WTJS. Mitch, what would you do?
I would not turn them in, Todd. I would make them turn themselves in, and I would be right behind them to make sure that it was done, because there's so many more lessons there that can be. You can teach that child that you take responsibility, and you can also teach that child, look, you make mistakes, I make mistakes, I'm going to back you up, but you're going to pay for the mistakes, because those mistakes come with consequences that have to be paid for, and not by someone else, by you. You made the mistake.
Mitch, this is great. This is a great idea and a great thought. Do you have kids yourself, Mitch?
I do. I have three, and we've been through something similar to this. I had a middle child that took something that was not his, and I made him take it back to the individual. Then I made him apologize to the parents, and I made him tell the school what he had done as well.
Wow, good for you. You know, I've seen, I don't know if you've seen this, Mitch, where some parents, they're like hardcore. And if their kid, for example, steals something, you know, they'll make their kid stand out on a sidewalk intersection or something with a billboard saying, I'm a thief and that's why I'm here. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I like this idea of, you know, teaching your kid, hey, there are consequences for your behavior.
Absolutely. That sounds like a second offense. And you step up, every offense gets a little more difficult until it hurts enough not to do it again.
I come from an old school family. There would not have been a second offense in my family. I'd have been gone.
Oh, understood entirely.
We don't know where Todd went. he gone. That's it. All right, Mitch. Hey, what a great idea. All right, Mitch, thanks for listening. And, wow, that's interesting. Mitch says that he would make their kids turn themselves in, and he'd be right there with them. And I think that really also sends a message that, you know what, you're going to screw up in life and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to do things that are wrong, but we're going to be there with you. And you're going to have to pay the consequences, but we're going to be there for you as a mom or a dad. Let's go to Libby in New Bern, North Carolina, the talk station, our great affiliate out there. All right, Libby, what would you do?
Well, my son's 38, and I don't think he's ever broken the law. But if he committed a murder or used a weapon like a gun or something, I'd have to turn him in because something would be mentally wrong, and I would come to his rescue by turning him in.
You do wonder, Libby, wonder about these kids that are shooting up the high schools, and, you know, the parents are like, well, you know, we didn't realize that little Billy had an arsenal in his bedroom. How do you not do that? You're a parent, for crying out loud.
Well, I've worked the prison system, and I've seen a lot of kids screwed up because their parents didn't do anything, or their parents were screwed up, and they didn't have, you know, the knowledge to do what they needed to do, and it just bothers me. I think if my son were to do something horrible, yeah, I'd turn him in. I mean, if he burned a flag, I'd be pissed off, and if he doesn't vote for Donald Trump, I'd be really mad, but, you know, that's not a police offense. But
Is that a criminal offense?
Yeah, but other than that, no, I don't know that I could. You know,
yeah.
Murder or using a weapon, I could do it in a heartbeat because that means mentally something's off and he needs help.
But
let's
set murder aside for a moment, though. But you're saying, you know, would you rather handle it yourself?
Oh, honey, I'd beat the hell out of him with a 2x4. You know, he regret whatever he did. But if he robbed a little old lady or some mess, I'm a little old lady, I'd definitely turn him in.
Well, this is good to know, Libby. I think your child would be like, call the police. Get me away from this woman.
No, he's afraid of me anyway. So, I mean, he would definitely call the police on himself probably before facing me.
Libby, great call. You sound like a great mom, and I appreciate you calling in. You know, it's interesting. I think that's the problem is that I mean, I love my parents, but when I was a kid, I feared my parents too. You know, I didn't want to screw up. I didn't want to get in trouble. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's actually healthy, knowing that your mother could very well beat you upside the head with a 2x4. It's a real thing. Who knew? Okay, real quick, let's go to OG in North Carolina. All right, OG, what's your story?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
About 8 or 9 years old at a hardware store, I stuck my hand in a barrel of nails and stuck them in my pocket and got home, and my mother said, where'd you get those nails? You take those to that store? Grabbed me by the left ear, which is probably why it's a bit bigger than the right ear, dragged me back to the store, and made me turn them back to the store owner.
Wow. So she marched you down there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And she said, don't you ever embarrass me again.
Wow. And my
That's
question is, did you?
Problem.
OG, did you ever embarrass your mom?
Absolutely not. I towed the mark.
I bet you did. Good for you, OG. Good for you. What a great story. All right. Hey, OG, we got to run, but thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926. So what would you do, Mom or Dad? And if you've got a story about what happened to you as a kid, we'd like to hear that as well. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. Michelle says magnesium. Todd, you need to really? Is that? All right, that'll do it, huh? All right, very good. I'm just having trouble sleeping this week. And look, you know what it is? I'm flying all over the place, and I keep forgetting to bring along my MyPillow. And it's hard to sleep without that MyPillow, I'm just going to tell you. So, all right, I will give that one a shot. Someone also said booze. But thank you for that. I'll just stick with my Baptist martini. For you Presbyterians out there, that's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, if you haven't already done so, you got to check out our awesome app. Whenever I'm out traveling around and we're doing the speaking engagements, people say, you know what? Your show is not in our city yet. And I'm like, well, hang tight. What you need to do is download our free app. And here's how you can do that. Go to kwamradio.com. That's kwamradio.com. Download the app, and you'll be able to not only listen to us, but you'll also be able to send us a shout-out. I know a lot of people love to do that. Maybe they're at work or they're in the car. They can't call in, so they'll just leave us a quick shout-out. And we like to play those, and we've got a couple coming up, and we'll play those later on today. All right, again, our telephone number, it is Open Line Friday, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we're starting with really some, I think, great news. I think it's great news that this dad turned his son in. And I don't know all the specifics of how it all went down. But I have to imagine it was devastating for this father to have to do this, but he had to do it. So it's good news, and a lot of people are saluting the dad on our Facebook live stream right now. There's also a story out of California, and thanks to our good friend Harmeet Dhillon, these two young men have now been exonerated. 14 years old. They were 14 years old. They took selfies during a sleepover, and the boys had a friend who was dealing with a very severe acne issue. And so the kid was wearing this skin treatment, this ointment. And so when you put it on your skin, I guess it's light green, but then when it dries, it turns into dark green. And about 3 years later, that selfie went viral during the George Floyd protest, and the boys were accused of wearing blackface. It wasn't blackface. It was a dark green skin treatment. But it didn't matter because the boys got kicked out of St. Francis High School, a super exclusive Catholic school. They got kicked out of school, and they were smeared across the nation as a bunch of teenage racists. So the Dhillon Law Group took up their case. 7 years later, the boys have been vindicated. A jury said not guilty. The boys got $1 million. And honestly, they should have gotten $10 million for what they went through. But good on the jury. Good for these young men. Good for Harmy Dillon and her good team over there at the Dillon Law Group. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show, Open Line Friday.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
You know, I don't want to keep bragging on you guys because I don't want you to think I'm blowing smoke. I just don't do that. I don't blow smoke. But we've got the best stinking audience in all of talk radio. And just thank you guys so much. You've been just so incredible reading our stuff, downloading the podcast, buying the books, and just want to say thank you for that. And greatly appreciate you guys as we keep growing our radio show. And that's what we're doing here. A lot of people use radio as a platform to get to TV. That's not what I do. I mean, yeah, we're doing the Newsmax TV show. But honestly, what I love doing is this radio program every single day, and it's a lot of fun. Yesterday on the Newsmax show, we interviewed one of the owners of this Atlanta cookie shop. Really, it's in Decatur, right near Emory University. And the owners are just really nice people. I would say they're probably in their 30s or 40s. And they came here to this country, and the woman, the interview was just really phenomenal. She said, you know, we lived in Israel. They served in the Israeli Defense Forces. And she said they came to America because they love America. They love this country, and they wanted to live the American dream. So they bought this started this cookie store called Allie's Cookies. And guys, if we could, let's get the website link up on our live show blog for Allie's Cookies at Emory University, if we could do that. But anyway, this poor couple has been coming under attack. You've got the Jew haters. They're boycotting the cookie shop. And by the way, they say these are the best stinking cookies in all of the Atlanta area. So they have a great product. But they're on the verge of being put out of business by this mob. So the good news here is, and we learned this information in our Newsmax interview yesterday, is that they actually ship these cookies all over America. So we're going to order some. And do you have a favorite cookie, Dillon? Are you a chocolate chip guy?
Like the snickerdoodles.
Snickerdoodle?
Yeah.
What is a snickerdoodle?
Like cinnamon, ginger, bread.
Really?
Something like that. All right. I like the cinnamon.
Okay. We'll find out if they have the snickerdoodle, and we'll get some snickerdoodles. All right. But anyway, I'm just encouraging everybody to go to their website and let's place some orders and help these folks out. You know, they're going through a rough patch right now, and they could use our help. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Do we have that audio of President Trump? All right, so this is awesome. The president is just, what they're doing to this man is so evil. And you really forget the humanity that surrounds Donald Trump and the man that he is. Because he's in defense mode all the time. You know, out there just trying to stave off this rampaging deep state swamp mob. So anyway, he was doing an interview earlier today on a Philadelphia radio station, and they were asked about Barron. And Barron is like 18 years old now, and Barron is going to loves politics, and Barron is going to be serving. He's going to be a delegate for the Republicans, and he apparently even gives his dad campaign advice now. This is an 18-year-old kid. And so you can tell the president is just so proud of his son. So anyway, they were doing an interview on radio earlier this morning. Let's take a listen.
He's seen it. He doesn't have to hear. He's a smart one. He doesn't have to hear much. But he's a great guy. He's a little on the tall side, I will tell you. He's a tall one. But he's a good-looking guy, and he's really been a great student. And he does like politics. It's sort of funny. He'll tell me sometimes, Dad, this is what you have to do. So anyway, he's a good guy. He's a senior now in high school, and he'll be going to college. And, you know, a lot of these choices of colleges are changing because you see what's going on in the last month. Biden has totally lost control of the country. And just to finish up, he is the worst president. When you take a look at what happens, he is the worst president in the history of our country.
So anyway, the point of that is that this president, he's just so tuned in to what Barron's up to, what Barron is doing. And it's just a reminder, you can't buy into the national media narrative that President Trump is cold-hearted and doesn't have a family life. You can't buy into that. And guys, if I could get that rundown, that would be helpful. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to play some more audio? This coming from Tim Burchett, the congressman from Eastern Tennessee. Elections have consequences. Cut one.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today to talk about the consequences that come when we stay home on Election Day. Since President Biden took the oath of office on January 20th, 2021, this country has been unrecognizable. Unrecognizable, Mr. Speaker. And we will lose it completely if we don't get out in November and vote for constitutionalists who will defend the oath they took. We're in our battle for our way of life, and we better start acting like it. Since Biden took office, he has let over 10 million illegal aliens cross our border. The government has completely weaponized our federal agencies against the beliefs and interests of the American people, and war has broken out around the globe. If you don't want to keep paying hundreds of billions of dollars to clothe, house, and make sure illegals are getting quality medical care before the veterans who served our country, dadgummit, you better get out and vote. If you don't want to see theft and assault in broad daylight, violent protests in our streets, in our college campuses, with our kids, and see our men and women in law enforcement demonized, dadgum, you better get out and vote. If you don't want public school systems to tell your children that changing their gender is okay, that praying in public is wrong, and that our flag is a reason not to stand for the national anthem, y'all better get out and vote. If you want a secure border, a fair justice system, and law and order in our communities, you better get out and vote. If you want a military that's focused on its mission and not about meeting diversity quotas and having male recruiters out in dresses, y'all better get out and vote. If you want a cheap, clean energy that's made in America instead of relying on our enemies, we better get out and vote. If you want to quit sending money overseas to pay for drag shows and climate initiatives, we better get out and vote. If you don't like where we've been, don't like where we are now, and don't like where we're going, folks, we better get out and vote. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Well, and thank you, Congressman Burchett, and he's right. Look, the reason why I remain hopeful is because there are more of us than there are of them. So if we just get out and vote on Election Day, we fix all of these problems. It's really that simple. Now, there is some very concerning reporting coming out of the state of Georgia, and it's about the election. Now, they're having some hearings. And it's raising a lot of questions about exactly what happened in the last presidential election. As a matter of fact, the election board seems to be dumbfounded. They found 3,000 ballots that were scanned twice in the 2020 election recount in Fulton County. Now, the election board also discovered that nearly 400,000 ballot images from the machine count were not available. So a lot of people are wondering, what does that mean, they're not available? Where are those ballots? Why do you not have the images of those nearly 400,000 ballots? What happened to them? Now, this is a little bit of Q&A, and I want to just read through this. Does Fulton County know why there are not 400,000 ballot images from Election Day? The answer, as with the investigators, We have not been apprised of this allegation. This is the first we're hearing about it. Well, the Georgia counsel for the Secretary of State's office, Charlene McGowan, confirmed that Fulton County broke the law in their recount. Quote, Fulton County used improper procedures during the recount of the presidential contest in 2020. But in spite of this, the board refused to approve a further investigation. So the question is, what happened to all of those ballots and where are they? Now, I say that because this is why the RNC is calling for this massive army of poll watchers to make sure stuff like this does not happen again. It doesn't mean it's going to completely eliminate it, but we've got to be getting out to vote in numbers so large, they're not going to be able to do shenanigans. They're not going to be able to steal the vote. But we also need Republicans there with eagle eyes making sure that this stuff doesn't happen again. A lot of questions right now in the state of Georgia as they start really doing a deep dive into what happened with all of these ballots. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Stan in Gainesville, Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Stan. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mr. Starnes. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Yes, I just wanted to let you know you got 4 dozen cookies coming from Ali's Cookies. Just wanted to give them to y'all to thank you for the work you're doing.
Well, Stan, you just made Dylan's day. He's celebrating. Thank you for that. That's very kind of you.
Yes, sir. I'm glad to do it. I wanted to ask another question. I spoke with Noel Forrest, I believe, one of the owners. I posed the question to her. Why were the citizens of Israel not armed to defend themselves during the October 7th attack? It's incomprehensible to me that the vast majority of those people that are citizens there have served in the IDF. They're weapons qualified, quite competent. They're subject to reserve recall up to the age of 40. So I could not understand why they did not have weapons available to them based on the area in which they live and the enemies they're surrounded by.
Well, Stan, I'm going to answer that question, and it's not going to make you happy. It turns out that Israel has very strict gun laws, and that's why only about 2% of Israelis can legally own a gun. That's the reason why. So they were left defenseless. And you and I both know, Stan, that, and we've talked about this on the show, that the terrorists, they did not hit the big cities. They went after the small towns and the communities. Now, if they did something like that here, Stan, in America, what do you think the response would have been here in America if they hit a small town like that?
Totally different story altogether.
Yes, sir. And it's because we have the Second Amendment here and they don't in Israel.
I don't understand that, Mr. Stones. I know the reason why that you've explained, but based on the area where they live, the history, the perpetual violence against the Jewish population, I don't understand why they did not make that a priority to make sure that they all were armed properly.
Well, it's a fair question, and there are lawmakers in Israel now trying to reconsider some of those firearm laws. But also, and again, guns are restricted to Israelis unless you are, in the IDF. So, but if you're a civilian, you can't get yourself a gun. You can't do that.
Unbelievable to me. I hope that changes. It'll be too late, unfortunately, for those that were massacred. But hopefully going forward, they'll correct that.
Stan, I'm with you 1,000%. Stan, thank you for your kindness. And I know the folks over at the cookie shop must have been so thankful. And I want you to swing by and visit with us if you got time. We're going to be in Gainesville on the square. Starting at noon, we're doing our whole show there on Monday. So we'd love for you to drop by and say hello.
I'll try to do that, but I guarantee you're going to be covered up.
Well, that's all right, Stan. I will make time for you. So anybody who sends us cookies, you go to the front of the line.
All right. Thank you, Stern.
You got it. All right. Thanks a lot, Stan. What a good guy. And you know what? That's a great idea. Stan actually called the Allie's Cookie Shop and talked to the owner, Nofar. She is the owner's wife. They're co-owners. And give them a call and give them an encouraging word. They have been through a lot. We'll try to share that effort. We'll try to share that that website with you. It's Allie's, A-L-I-S, Allie's Cookies, Emory.com. That's Allie's Cookies, Emory.com. And here's the telephone number. If you want to give them a call on this Friday, and just give them a good word, 404-377-2547. That's 404-377-2547. And just tell them, hey, tell them to hold the faith. You know, it's going to be okay. There are a lot of people out there who have their back. Oh, geez, Lou, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And by the way, Dylan, I was checking out the menu of Allie's Cookies. They do not have the snickerdoodle, but they do have a lot of other varieties. They have something called a cereal cookie.
Oh.
And it's made with cereal. They like decorate it with cereal. That looks very delicious. And they also have gluten-free and vegan cookies. I don't want to talk about that.
Nah.
They have something called the George Washington Revenge Cookie. That looks very good. And a German chocolate cookie. Oh, and you know the Cookie Monster on Sesame Street?
Yeah.
They have blue Cookie Monster cookies.
Very nice.
Oh, this looks good. Mint chip cookie. That's a mint chocolate chip cookie and a praline pecan cookie. Delicious. And by the way, you know what they're doing? In spite of all the chaos, they're actually giving first responders. When first responders show up, they get free cookies. That is very nice. Allie's Cookies. I love it. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Tom in Georgia. Tom, what's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. I listen to you every day. I really support your anchor, the way you present the words. And I wanted to get rid of something that happened to me when I was young.
All right. Now, how old are you now, Tom?
I'm 95.
Wow, 95 years old. Well, what happened when you were a youngster?
Well, I and two friends went out to the local lake, and we stole the boat and went riding around with the boat. And the owner called the police. The police came and took us back home and released us to our parents. My mother told me to go upstairs and take your pants down, and I did, and she chased me around the bed and said, if you don't stop now, I'm going to give you 10 whacks with this broom. If you do stop, I'll only give you 5. And that's the only thing I ever did in my life, and I became a CIA agent.
Is that right? Wow. She must have been good with that broom.
I'll tell you, I never did another thing bad in my life.
Tom, I love it, and I believe you. Wow, that is what a story. Tom, we're coming up on the top of the hour news, but I hope you come out to our big event Monday. We're going to be at WDUN Studios on the square. and we're going to have a lot of fun. We're doing the entire three-hour show, and I'd love to be able to meet you in person. Tom, thank you for calling in. Mom had a broom. Golly, that's awesome. All right, folks, hang tight. Hour two coming up, and we hope to see you Monday in Gainesville, Georgia for the Big Book Tour. We'll be right back, America.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. Hope you're doing good. Today is Open Line Friday, and we've got a lot to talk about, but here's the deal. Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about today. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I got a message, a text message. Dylan, this whole Christy Noem thing has taken on a whole life of its own. And look, I said, look, I don't want to hound her anymore, you know, and again, it's barking up the wrong tree here, right? That's not what we do here.
Please don't hound her.
No,
I'm
not.
Be good for you.
No, I'm not. No, we're not doing that. And look, they reached out to us and they said, hey, can we get the governor on the show to promote the new book? I said, absolutely. I said, you know, we're going to have to ask the question that everybody's asking, you know, because I think our audience, that's only fair, mm-hmm. you know, but we're not going to be rude about it. I was really more concerned about the poor goat than the dog. But anyway, I don't want to, you know, beat a dead dog to death here. So, but all that to say is that we were going to have a fair interview with the governor. Anyway, they canceled. They called it all off, and I get that. That's fine. Honestly, if I'd have been her press people, I would have called it off after the first Fox interview went south. That would have been the clue. So comms people, pay attention. I'm just saying. But anyway, I got a message, and it's from a very unhappy person, and they said that My coverage of Christy Noem proved that I really am a closet liberal. That was the takeaway from all of that. So that that I am a raging leftist who also gives money to PETA. And I take great offense of that because I'm pretty outspoken about my hatred of PETA, the people eating tasty animals crowd. So there you go. I invited him to come on the show. I'm like, you know what? If you want to make the argument that I'm a flaming leftist, pick up the phone, give us a call, and let's have that conversation. So there you go. Oh, President Trump, by the way. So any all that to say, give us a call, whether you agree or disagree, whether you like or hate, give us a call, and we'll have that conversation. 901-260-5926. So President Trump, a little upset at MTG, just a smidge. And it's really not that he's upset. You know, he was just sort of, yeah, he's upset. But he said it a very nice way. And he says that he loves MTG, but she's got to let it go. She's got to just move on. We you know, there's no need to remove Speaker Johnson right now. And of course, now you've got conservatives that are upset with President Trump. And they're saying that the president needs to get rid of Mike Johnson, and also that the president needs to stop all this talk about building a brand new FBI headquarters. And what the president ought to be doing is dismantling and defunding the FBI. So what do you, I mean? It's Jesse Kelly. He was very upset about all of this and says he's done. He's not going to be supporting Donald Trump anymore because he believes that Donald Trump has given in, has surrendered to the woke mob. As a matter of fact, I think we've got President Trump is about to speak now. Guys, let's bring that in.
They can say whatever they want, but I'm not allowed to say anything about anybody. It's a disgrace, and you see it. The media sees it. And it's really very sad. If you look at the legal experts and the legal scholars, every one of them say this trial is a scam. It's something that should have never happened. By the way, it could have happened 7 years ago. They bring it right during the election. Nobody sees it. Nobody talks about it. This should have been 7 years ago. It shouldn't have been brought. But if it was going to be brought, it should have been brought 7 years ago. And, you know, we're talking about 2016. We're talking about something that goes back in charge of 2006. Think of it. We're talking about 2016. We're talking about a charge that's 18 or 19 years old. It's all fake. The whole case is fake. The judge is corrupt. And the only thing he gives us is to make him look a little bit good. He gives us nothing. Now, what he just did now is a joke. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. So I just want to mention right here, Biden made a claim that inflation under Trump was 9%. When it wasn't, it was a tiny fraction. It was 1.4% and actually going down. We had essentially almost no inflation. But we had 9% inflation, and that's a fake number because not everything was included with Biden. And if you add it all up, I think it's a 50% inflation tax. I call it the Biden inflation tax. So he lies, and he lies about everything, including his golf game, because he can't hit a ball. He can't hit a ball 100 yards. Lies about everything, but he came out, and I saw that this last couple of days, he was talking about the Trump inflation was 9%. No, his inflation was 9%. That's a tax on the American people due to gross incompetence. And it was all started because of his energy policies, his stupid Green New Deal energy policies. And you wait and see. If we don't win this nation is finished. You wait and you see what would happen. Because all of that stuff will be closed up. He let a lot of my energy policies go through because energy was starting under his, what they were doing, starting to go up so high. So he let a lot of them continue, including the drilling, because the prices were going so high for gasoline and energy. And now he comes out and he actually says, I guess with a straight face, but I'm not sure he knows what he's saying anyway, that it was 9% under Trump. So at least the New York Post, and I hear the Wall Street Journal, and a couple of others did correct it. Now, it was 1.4. It was actually lower than that. We included everything. They didn't include everything. They took some of the worst categories and didn't include them in the 9%. So his 9% is actually much higher than that. But it's a tax over a four-year period of more than 50%. And I call it the inflation tax, the Biden inflation tax. Now, here's another one that just came out, Axios. No friend of mine. They say that Biden's big donors fume over Israel criticism. Biden's donors are the ones that are against Israel. So somehow, maybe those people, Jewish people that vote for Democrats or vote for Biden, if they look at what they're doing, the donors to Biden are against Israel, very much and vehemently against Israel. They hate Israel. And that's why Biden hates Israel, because he goes with his donors, and he always has. So they ought to start thinking about that. And now you have the lawfare implosion. This is the Wall Street Journal. Kim Strassel is a great reporter. They ought to read this story because it talks about what's going on here. What's going on here is a disgrace. Jonathan Turley just came out. This case is becoming legally obscene. It's, the articles are unbelievable. And I'd hand you the articles, but the problem is I'm not allowed to. Because if anything's mentioned against certain people, and you know who they are, certain people, anything's even mentioned, he wants to put me in jail. And that could happen one day, and I'd be very proud to go to jail for our Constitution. Because what he's doing is so unconstitutional. There's never been anything like it. This is story after story right here. Look at this. One after another. And this is over the last 2 days. Story after story, Hannity, big story. They're all big. Dershowitz, Jonathan Turley, Andrew McCarthy, Greg Jarrett, they've all been amazing. They're not friends, nobody's friends. They're writing stories. They've never seen anything like that. They've never seen anything like what's going on today in this court is a very dark day for New York City, New York State, and it's a very dark day for our nation. And in the meantime, I can't be out campaigning. They could have brought it, I told you, 7 years ago. They could have brought it if they were to bring it. Remember, everybody turned it down. Southern District turned it down. Washington turned it down. The Federal Election Commission turned it down. And you know who else turned it down? Cy Vance turned it down. Everybody turned it down. And then Brent came in and he turned it down. And he got very angry, actually, because a man named Pomerantz came out. And what's happening with Pomerantz? Are the papers looking into that deal? But he got himself into a jam.
All right. That is President Trump coming out of the courtroom. They're ending court early today. And the reason why is because they're getting ready for Michael Cohen's testimony, which is supposed to happen on Monday. But the president is rightfully enraged here. And the reason why President Trump is enraged is because the judge has imposed a gag order. Everybody else is allowed to talk about Trump, Stormy Daniels, Michael Cohen, all of these people, but not Donald Trump. He's not allowed to defend himself. He's already been fined $10,000. He's violated the gag order 10 times. And now the judge is threatening to throw him in jail. And as you heard President Trump say there, President Trump is willing to go to jail. He said he would consider it to be an honor. But I hope you understand what's going on here, folks. This is nothing more than a sham trial. The classified documents case has all but fallen apart now. You've got the judge indefinitely postponing that. And the reason why is the FBI has now admitted that they staged the photographs of the classified documents, which means that the FBI actually mishandled the documents, which is what President Trump is accused of doing. You can't make this up. The Fulton County trial, it looks as though Fannie Willis, Big Fannie, may actually be removed from that case. And if that happens, that case is over as well. So now the weakest of the cases happens to be this particular case, the one involving Stormy Daniels and the hush money. And it looks, this thing, the mistrial should have already been declared. But they're not going to do that. The judge refused to do that. And the reason why is that everybody knows that this case, let's just say Trump is found guilty, and there's a very good chance that could happen, not because of the facts, but because the jury hates Donald Trump. But let's just say for the sake of our argument that Trump is found guilty, this will be immediately reversed on appeal. So the judge doesn't care, and the judge needs to be brought up on charges. The prosecutors need to be brought up on charges. This is what the weaponization of a judicial system looks like. And if they're doing it to Donald Trump, you better believe they're going to be doing it to all of us. All right, we got to take a break. Going to the phones, open line Friday, 901-260-5926. What do you think Trump ought to do? Should he obey the gag order or should he say, forget that? I'm speaking my mind. And if you want to throw me in jail, throw me in jail. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. As we mentioned, the race between Biden and Trump heating up. Our good buddy Rob Schmidt on Newsmax this week exposing the secret billionaires who want to radically change America. A lot of these billionaires backing the no-bail prosecutors, turning our cities into chaos. Well, Rob Schmidt is on the story, and you got to watch his series tonight on Newsmax, The Secret Billionaires. By the way, you can also download, sign up for Newsmax Plus. You can watch Newsmax anywhere. You can also watch my show, 5 o'clock Eastern. You can start for free. Just go to NewsmaxPlus.com. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. Todd Stern Show listeners, you get a free trial subscription But all you have to do is go to NewsmaxPlus.com. All right, let's go to the phones here. Ivan in North Carolina listening to us. Hi, Ivan. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tom, I have an idea how you might sleep better.
I'm all ears.
Okay, stop trashing the spectacular, successful conservative governors and trash those like the one from Georgia is responsible for the Democrats having the U.S. Senate.
Now, who am I trashing, Ivan?
Well, I think that certain women from South Dakota are 3 days this week. Maybe you could spend 3 days on the Georgia governor next week.
Not 3 days. So, Ivan, let me ask you a question. Should I just ignore all of that? Should I just turn a blind eye to the fact that she lied about meeting a world leader? Is that not a big deal?
Well, I was talking about the dog deal. The dog. I was talking about the dog. Yeah. We had an 18-month-old child, grandson, in a wagon, a bulldog attack, and he could have lost his eyesight. And, you know, so and we've had many dogs, and it's terrible to put them down, but if they're a danger, when our grandson was attacked, the people who owned the dog wound up settling for many thousands of dollars. So, you know, the reasons that people have to manage their farm like they manage a business. So I understand bringing it up, but not spending so much time on it when my wife and I have been registered Republicans for years. We switched to affiliated 2-3 years ago because Republicans just seem to shoot themselves in the foot. It's like a circular firing squad.
Well, so we should have just ignored it then. Is that what you're saying? I mean, that's the bottom line here. Just ignore it when a Republican does something like that. Or maybe we ought to be following and emulating Kristi Noem and just shooting dogs. I don't know.
No, I didn't say that. I said we shouldn't spend 3 days on it.
I don't think we're spending 3 days. You're the one that brought it up here, Ivan.
No, I'm saying 3 days this week it was recovered. It was covered. And I wasn't going to even, I had wanted to call the last couple of days, and I had better things to do, but I thought it was funny that it might help you sleep better.
Wait. You have better things to do than call the show? Ivan, come on. You stop what you're doing, you pick up the phone, and you call.
Well, when you come here to Morgan City, I'm going to go see you at Tony's Sanitary Seafood, and I'll be delighted because I love your show. I love your one-minute spots that you used to do when Rush was around.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. You know, I'm a fan. I just thought there's something ought to be said.
No, look, here's the deal, Ivan. You know, a lot of people just don't understand. You can actually enjoy a show and disagree with the host every now and again. I mean, it would be a rather boring program if people just called in and agreed with me all the time.
Yeah, I know. I agree. That's why I was glad I had a funny way to call in, like it might help you sleep.
So I'm losing sleep because, okay, I got it now. All right, that could be it, Ivan. All right, I'll say very happy things moving forward for the rest of the day. Maybe that'll help me get a good night's rest.
You don't have to do that. Just don't crack on conservative governors.
All right. I got it. All right. Thanks, Ivan. Have a good weekend. That's Ivan in North Carolina. Yes, we are going to WSIC as well. I am so excited. We've already been to KQAM in Wichita, and we had such a great time there. KWAM in Memphis, we had a huge turnout at our book signing there. And Monday, we're going to be in Gainesville, Georgia. You can come and actually watch the show, and we would love for you to do that. We're going to be at the downtown studios of WDUN right there on the square, and then we're doing a book signing afterwards. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us here on the Todd Starnes radio program today. It is Open Line Friday. That means you can talk about whatever you want to talk about today. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. Let's go to Chuck, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship radio station in Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Chuck, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, Mr. Starnes. I wanted to talk about the situation with the dog. I have not read the book, and you know, the thing that is that motivated me to call in is a lot of people are just getting so upset about the dog. I remember, and there are kind of some things that are just kind of generally accepted principles, and it used to be if a dog bites somebody and it was not a justified bite, then the dog has to be put down. That was just a general rule. And it seems to me that a lot of people are saying that these actions don't have consequences, and that goes to two-legged dogs too, you know. Sometimes when you get out of line or cross a line or do something inappropriate, there may be an adverse reaction that you don't like. And that's just kind of like the normal way of life. And I would not necessarily put the lady down for having to euthanize the dog. You know, depending on the reasons. I agree with you, though, that probably it would have been better if she hadn't advertised that to the public.
I think the issue for me is really not the dog, and I know that's going to irritate a lot of the dog lovers out there. The issue for me is tone and temperament. It's judgment. You know, she clearly ignored the advice of her team. They advised her not to put this in the book. But the bigger problem is really this issue with Kim Jong-un and the fact that there was a meeting and she just can't come to acknowledge that, you know what, she made a mistake. She screwed up. She forgot. Maybe she thought she met with another big fat guy from North Korea, but it turned out not to be Kim Jong-un after all.
Yeah, well, your position makes real good sense. And we're deciding who we're going to select as our leaders. And that goes back to certain things, you know, when you put something out there and it's not true, well, it can come back to hurt you. And so the same principle would apply to her, you know. If she's going to deceive the public, we have a right to reject her.
And that's my, and honestly, that's the bigger concern I have is like, wait a second, you know, clearly you did not meet with Kim Jong-un, so why not just go ahead and say you made a mistake? And she could not do that on Fox News of all places, which is friendly territory. It's just really weird. And look, I don't know what she's going through, if she's going through a difficult, you know, spot right now. But it's easy to get defensive when everybody's coming at you. But, you know, they should have been ready for this. And, you know, a lot of the blame also goes to her comms team, who should have realized almost immediately that there was going to be an issue, and they should have canceled the book tour. They did not protect their person.
Yes, sir.
So,
yes, sir.
Anyway, no, I hear you, Chuck. And look, it was tough because we were sitting down, and I had been working for a couple of days on how the interview was going to go. Because, you know, you do have to address it. You have to talk about it. Otherwise, it affects your credibility as a journalist and someone who's, you know, interviewing. And I think you guys expect for us to ask those questions. But you got to do it in a way that's respectful. And, you know, we're not a gotcha. We just don't do the gotcha journalism here. So anyway, I think, you know, her career is over? I don't think so. I just think, you know, they've got to figure all of this out and move on from there. So, Chuck, appreciate that call. And thank you for listening. By the way, Congressman Clay Higgins, our good buddy from Louisiana, down in, is it Lafayette? He's our KROF listeners. Well, let me know if I got that wrong. But he's down there somewhere in Cajun country. Congressman's really upset. He was trying to get on board a flight. And, you know, the congressman's got his passport. He's got his congressional credentials. And, you know, they make everybody stand in the same line, except for the illegals. And Congressman Higgins, he decided to talk about this at the airport, cut number 6.
This has been happening a lot. Members getting stopped at the TSA gate. We have a boarding pass on our phone. I got to fly with my passport. Of course, I have my congressional ID, so we're going to have to look into it through the committee. Because this has been happening a lot with members. We have many flights booked because that's how we get into D.C. and then out of D.C. That's an accommodation. It's perfectly legal and ethical. It's part of the rules. So somewhere TSA's computer system is not talking to itself. And we have very, very tight schedules sometimes making this flight. Like, I might miss this flight in order to reestablish what I've already established, which is that I have a ticket and a seat assigned and a boarding pass issued by the airline. I have my proper ID. I went through clear. I went through biometric screening, photograph. I have my passport. My passport is current, and I have my congressional ID. So there's no reason, really, that TSA should be stopping super well-documented Americans from accessing a secure area past the TSA gate. So let's lead a letter inquiring about that, and let's force a review from within Homeland Security.
All right. Well, there you go. Poor Congressman Clay Higgins. He's discovering, like all the rest of us, that there's one set of rules for the illegals and another set for the rest of us. You know, these illegals are able to get on these airplanes. These illegals are able to do that without having any proper identification. They're able to board these planes, but you and I, we have to have all of our ducks in a row. And if not, we don't get on board the plane. 901-260-5926. We're going to take a quick break here. That's 901-260-5926. If you have been to the supermarket lately, you know that the price of meat is through the roof. And you also know that there's really no guarantee that the meat you're buying was actually grown here in America. Well, I've got a solution to that. Our brand new sponsors are friends at BackyardButchers.com/Todd. That's BackyardButchers.com/Todd. And they are literally delivering American-raised and harvested meat to your door and to your dinner table. And folks, I got to tell you, you're going to love the prices. They're going to beat anything that you're going to see in your local supermarket. So cut out the frustration from the meat aisle and go to BackyardButchers.com/Todd. Grown by American patriots right here in America. And you're going to save an extra 20% off your entire order by using my code Todd. And when you subscribe, you get an additional 10% off and free shipping. Go to BackyardButchers.com/Todd. That's BackyardButchers.com/Todd. All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. I want to go to our newsmaker line, and we're honored to have a great American patriot. He is a former Navy SEAL officer. He founded the private military company Blackwater and has also launched an incredible phone company that is focused on privacy, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Let's say hello to Eric Prince. Eric, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Todd. Nice to be with you.
And, of course, we're also big fans of your sister, Betsy DeVos, who is a regular on the program back in the day.
Good. Yep. It was great when she was secretary. I saw her more those 4 years than I had probably the rest of my life.
Well, there, it's amazing how that works out. Eric, want to talk about this column you published, an article which is really in depth. It's called Too Big to Win. What's going on with your column here, and what's going on with America that we need to be concerned about?
I wrote that out of frustration because we've had so many foreign policy setbacks that are, you know, the foreign policy of America should be that our friends love us, our rivals respect us, and our enemies fear us. And currently, our friends are worried about our self-immolation, kind of setting ourselves on fire. Our rivals are consuming us, and our enemies attack us repeatedly without consequence. And I kind of broke down, it's a long article, but I broke down 30 years of neocon Washington foreign policy failures, because the so-called smart people in Washington keep defaulting towards the most expensive, the most bloated Washington-focused solutions, which just don't work. And we've failed so often that it will start to have even an effect on our currency. it certainly has affected our credibility overseas, in that nobody can really depend on America. Like what's been said before, the most dangerous thing to be is a friend of America. That is not how our foreign policy should work.
I thought it was interesting, Eric, because you point out a pretty interesting idea that this cannot be a government-only approach, and that the private sector, you believe, actually has a role to play here. Is that right?
Yes. You know, we spend more than the next 17 countries combined on defense. But all that spending has not bought us the kind of reliable, effective button for a president to push to solve problems. Just like, you know, you have the Houthis, an Iranian proxy that have now blocked a huge waterway where 50% of world container traffic moved through. And I'm sure the Pentagon only says, well, yes, we can go solve that, but I need 200,000 soldiers and $100 billion. Nobody wants to accept that in the White House. The private sector, call it a contracted solution, was done in the 60s to solve a similar problem. And there's ways for the private sector to innovate and to do things on the cheap, cost effectively and practically. And people can say, well, I hate that idea. I would just say, come up with something better if you don't like the all government, all failing, all the time solution that we kind of are subject to now.
Well, was there a president in either the 20th or 21st century who actually got this right, or at least came close to getting foreign policy right?
Look, the Reagan spent way too much. He never really controlled domestic spending. He certainly spent a lot on defense as well. But at least they appreciated the nature of covert action to undermine Soviet communism on the periphery in Southeast Asia, in Africa, and in Latin America. That was an effective way to push back, and we must do that. There must be a lot more done in with small footprint things, and not sending 12-man teams, not sending 1,200-man teams, which is what the Pentagon always wants to do. And so I would say the covert actions of the Reagan administration should be an analog for today of how to solve some of these problems. But the private sector at least knows how much it costs to do things. Washington has completely lost the plot on spending because it's really become a circle of corruption between a Congress that appropriates way too much money on everything, the defense industry, which has a brigade's worth of lobbyists, so thousands of lobbyists paid to convince Congress to spend more and more money, and then a Defense Department, which is never held accountable for spending too much, and especially for failing to execute the desires of the commander-in-chief. For example, spending 20-plus years in Afghanistan, replacing the Taliban, and spending trillions of dollars doing it, and then to be replaced by the Taliban, and not one general was fired or docked in pay at all for that entire duration. And we can't have a country, there's no company in America that became successful by having continuously failing CEOs and leadership teams. And so how do we expect a Pentagon to be successful if no one is held accountable ever for complete and total failure? At least if you use some contracted solutions along the way, it's much easier for government to fire contractors, and they do so if they don't like the results that they're giving. So I would argue the only way you're going to get more accountability is to allow the private sector to innovate so that you can fire them when they don't work, because clearly nobody's held account for failing in the bureaucracy or throughout the leadership ranks of the U.S. government.
This is so spot on. And folks, we have a direct link to Eric's piece. It's a deep dive. This is something you need to sit down and you need to read. And it all makes sense. When you look at what's happening with our foreign policy right now, it all makes sense. We have a direct link to that over on the live show blog at toddstearns.com. And Eric, real quick here, I'm really excited about this new phone. It's called unplugged.com. Unplugged.com. Folks, go check this out. And you point out that freedom is literally under attack all over the place. So why do we need to get this new phone? What will that do for us?
Well, because of these endless wars, and we've not been able to finish these problems overseas, FISA, right, is supposed to stand for the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. has now really become domestic. And so just this last month, Congress enlarged FISA. And so that now what became law is that any government entity can go to any private company that has any of your communications data, social media information, messages, any of your online activity, which is stored by all these companies, and they can ask for it without a warrant and without probable cause, just off of a whim of one federal investigator. It is antithetical to the First and Fourth Amendments because, and here's the thing, we've all grown to know and love smartphones, but they are the freemium model. And it's very important to remember that if you're not paying for something, you're not the customer, you are the product. And so all these free apps that sit on your phone actively collect all your pattern of life, all your online activity. They know where you go, what you buy, who you call, and what you browse. And they collect that information, the phone does, and it exports it and it sells it to advertisers so they can better target you. I've had so many people that have said, yes, I was talking to my wife, talking, not texting, not surfing, but talking to my wife about needing a new mattress while we were in our bedroom. And the next day we're getting advertising for new mattresses, which means the phone was listening. What we've done with Unplugged is it's a completely standalone phone system outside of the Google and Apple universe. We have thousands of apps in our app store, most of the same apps that you're used to now. But our phone, running on it's our hardware, our operating system, it doesn't have an advertising ID. What is an advertising ID? It's like a 25-digit alphanumeric mark of the beast, which follows you and tracks on your phone. And that allows big tech to extract everything you do, where you go, what you buy, who you call. It turns on the microphone, the GPS, the camera to extract your data to monetize your daily life.
Eric, I've got to jump in here. The computer is going to cut us off at the top of in about 10 seconds here. But again, folks, unplugged.com is the website. Unplugged.com. No Google or Apple tracking. You got to check this out. Eric, we're going to get you back on so we can have some more time to talk about this because that is huge. I know our audience is going to love it. We thank you for coming on the program. Eric Prince, everybody, the founder of Blackwater and now the Unplugged.com phone company. Go check that out. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today on this Open Line Friday. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. A great special guest coming on, Congressman Ben Klein, is going to be joining us in just a little while. Also, your phone calls, Open Line Friday. That means you get to talk about whatever you want to talk about today. Want to play some audio from Congress gal Cori Bush, and she's very upset that the police are arresting protesters at George Washington University. By the way, the protesters at George Washington University are literally calling for administrators there to be killed, to be executed. They held a tribunal, and they found the university administrators guilty of Lord knows what. And they believe that the university administrators need to be beheaded, to have their heads chopped off. Congressman Cori Bush is siding with the students. Cut four.
Government to oppose student organizing under the guise of combating anti-Semitism, which they perpetuate openly and frequently. We woke up this morning to the disturbing news that D.C.'s Metropolitan Police Department had raided the GW Gaza Solidarity Encampment and assaulted pepper sprayed and arrested the nonviolent student protesters in the middle of the night while you were sleeping. This is all happening because those who refuse to stop the ongoing genocide in Gaza think they can arrest and brutalize their way out of this situation. Yeah. They think they can intimidate and erase the overwhelming voices for peace and justice. Mm. They think they can jail dissenters and silence the wide consensus among people in this country that there should be an immediate and permanent ceasefire.
Yeah.
These students are here today to demonstrate that they refuse to be silent.
That's right.
From GWU to WashU and everywhere else, students have been violently beaten without provocation. They have been arrested and charged with disproportionate offenses. They have been suspended and barred from campus. They have been denied access to food and medical services, the care on campus. They have been barred from walking across the stage at graduation. They have been wrongfully smeared as anti-Semitic in a shameful attempt to erase the humanity of the many Jewish students that have been instrumental in these protests. I know what these intimidation tactics, what these tactics feel like. I will never forget the brutality that we faced on the streets of Ferguson in response to our calls to end police brutality. Police used tear gas, pepper spray, rubber bullets, noise munitions, batons, shields, fists, and boots against us. The Missouri National Guard called us enemy forces. Our government labeled us as black identity extremists. Politicians condemned us. Those of us on the front lines were traumatized, but we knew that the time would come that we that would prove that we were on the right side of history. Yeah. And it did.
Yeah.
Time will prove the same for the students currently protesting across the country. Behind every attempt to silence a protester is an idea that those in power don't want people to hear.
So, look, here's the deal. If these kids are hungry, and my understanding is some of them are on, what, a hunger strike, that's on them. If the kids want to go and get a meal, guess what? All they have to do is walk over and get a meal. Nobody's holding them hostage. They're the ones that have occupied property that does not belong to them. They're trespassing. So not only should all of these kids been arrested, they should be thrown out of school. And any person who is a foreign national that's taking part in these protests, they need to be removed from the country immediately. Just throw them out. They want to come back. They can do it the way everybody else does across our southern border. But I have no sympathy for any of these people. They're causing mayhem. These people, look. Every single person that was a part of that tribunal ought to be charged with threatening to harm these school administrators. I mean, what would have happened had the president of the university gone out there and actually, what if she had been arrested by these kids? What if they literally made good on their promise to behead this woman? They're very serious about this stuff. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Louise in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Louise. What's on your mind?
Oh, a lot after you just got through talking, but I was just going to comment on the dog, but if you will let me rant for just a minute, then if you want to comment, you know, whatever, I'll listen to you on the radio. I like Christy Nome. You know, I don't know why she lied, but you know, every time a Democrat opens their mouth, or most politicians, you know, whatever comes out is a lie. And what they have done to our country is hideous, you know. But as far as her, when I was growing up, the rule was, you know, your animals belong to you. They were a piece of property. Now, what she did was, by shooting a dog, to me, was the most humane way of disposing of it. But let me tell you how people did things when I was growing up. It was horrible. If you had old dogs, you got pregnant and had 10 puppies and you couldn't give them away, people would take them, put them in a burlap sack, and take them and drop them in the river, which was horrible. But back to them idiots, Cori Bush and whatever the rest of them's names are, they all need to be run out of Congress, Senate, whatever they're in, because they're stupid. But anyhow, I just wanted to let people know how things, how horrific things were when I was a kid as far as people disposing of the animals. And, you know, there's a whole lot more I could say, but I won't take up any more.
Louise, well, I appreciate you sharing that. And I guess, you know, at least she did not use a burlap sack. So that's good news. So always looking for the silver lining there. And as you said, Louise, your dog, your choice. So we are pro-choice on that particular issue. So whatever you do with your animals, that's between you and the animal and Almighty God. There you go. And I do want to apologize for holding Republicans to a much higher level than the Democrats. So we're not going to do that anymore, not on this program. So God forbid we actually expect a Republican to tell the truth. What a mess. You know, I just hate politicians. They're just horrible people. All right. By the way, have you heard about this crazy solar storm that's supposed to impact the electric grid? And my understanding is this thing is going to hit sometime either late tonight. It's supposed to hit planet Earth late tonight or tomorrow. And they're talking about solar flares that are expected to trigger the northern lights. I think just north of us here in Tennessee, you folks in Kentucky, Indiana, Illinois, you guys are going to be able to see the northern lights. But the problem is they say we could face disruptions to satellite communications, electric power grid issues, and GPS problems. So just passing along this information, they're saying it's a little unusual, but this is going to the impact of this colossal charged mass, that's what they're calling it, is going to have a is going to have a serious impact on planet Earth. At least that's the working theory. But I don't know. You know, these professional weather guessers out there, they always get the forecast wrong. So I don't know. This may or may not happen. I don't. Are anybody concerned about the solar flares that are expected to impact the Earth? They're saying it could also impact radio signals as well. Well, wait a second. That's not good. Holy crap. This just became a breaking news alert. So we'll keep you updated on any developments there. But it ought to at least be pretty up there when you see the northern lights. It's kind of weird to see the northern lights in, of all places, you know, Kentucky. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, I have got to tell you about this new delicious coffee I've been trying from our friends at the First Cup Coffee Company. It is a Christian-owned coffee company. It is a conservative-owned coffee company, and they're huge patriots. I don't know how they're roasting their beans, but however they do it, I'm telling you, it just tastes great. They have a lot of different patriotic flavors, from the Boston Common to the John Hancock to the Washington, which is the blend that I've sort of settled on. And I'm one of these guys, when it comes to coffee, once I find a specific flavor, that's it for me. But my understanding is from Alan Pello, who is our director of operations, that, and he's a coffee, are you a coffee snob, Alan? He's saying he's not a coffee snob, but you've tried the different blends. Is that right? And you liked them. Okay. He likes them. So there you go. But for me, I can tell you this, the Washington, order that. It's really good. Best part about it all, they don't sell burnt coffee like Starbucks. So here's the deal. They will ship your coffee directly to you. And it doesn't matter if you want to, if you just want the beans, if you want the pods, if you want it ground, and they'll also sell it to you in bulk. It's really, really good stuff. So here is the website, firstcup.com. That's firstcup.com. And be sure to check out all of their great flavors. Now, use my code Todd, and you're going to save an additional 10% on your order. And if you subscribe, you're going to get an additional 10% for the entire life of your subscription. FirstCup.com. Use the code Todd. All right. right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So President Biden facing a lot of fire right now from a lot of people for abandoning Israel. Cut number 11.
I know that you have paused, Mr. President, shipments of 2,000-pound U.S. bombs to Israel due to concern that they could be used in any offensive on Rafah. Have those bombs, those powerful 2,000-pound bombs, been used to kill civilians in Gaza?
Civilians have been killed in Gaza as a consequence of those bombs and other ways in which they go after population centers. And I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, they haven't gone into Rafah yet. If they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah. It's just wrong. We're not going to supply the weapons and the artillery shells used that have been used.
Artillery shells as well.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. And the White House now saying that there's a very good chance that future provisions of military gear will be jeopardized when it comes to Israel. So Joe Biden literally believes he has the right to tell Israel how to run their war. And the Biden administration believes they have a right to tell the people of Israel they need new leadership. And I'm telling you, this is a very bad move for America. And Congress needs to take a very long, hard look at what Joe Biden has just done here, because it looks to me like this is an impeachment-level event. Congress has authorized funding for Israel, and now Joe Biden will not be providing that funding. Looks to me like this is impeachment-level stuff here. All right, I want to play some more audio. Before we get to that, there's an interesting story. Do we have any Episcopalians out there? So there is the Archbishop of the Open Episcopal Church. His name is Jonathan Blake. And he says that Jesus Christ wants people to put down the Bible because it's not accurate or right and is rarely God's word. He sounds like one of these woke Southern Baptists. Wow, insane. Meanwhile, the Southern Baptist Convention is now trending on social media. They're getting ready for their big meeting in June. And I hate to say this about the Southern Baptist Convention because I'm a Southern Baptist, but my denomination is being taken over by a lot of these woke millennials. And man, when you look at the decline, I think we're below 13 million members now, and people are leaving the Southern Baptist churches in droves, and I think a lot of it has to do with this woke teaching. Southern Baptists are also facing controversy because they're requiring churches to at least adhere to the teachings of the church. And apparently that's controversial for a lot of people. But I think one of the broader issues here is that many churches have hired these woke preachers and woke youth pastors, and they're literally turning next generation Christians against their own faith. It's really remarkable. But as I wrote about this in Twilight's Last Gleaming, that this is a very dangerous thing that's happening right now in the church. And you've got a lot of people that want to be the next Joel Osteen, but I'm telling you, we don't need self-help sermons. We don't need prosperity teachings. We need to get back to the Word of God, and we need to get back to the teachings from the Holy Scriptures that led to the founding of this great nation. And if we don't, we're all going to be screwed. Now, I'll say this, and again, when you look at what's happening in the culture right now, you've got the Roman Catholics, and the Catholics, you guys are dealing with your own issues. But you've got the Catholics and the Baptists, and those are the two largest religious groups in the country right now. And both of them have gone squirrely. As a matter of fact, the Southern Baptist Convention, there was a guy named Dr. Russell Moore, who now heads up Christianity Today. And then there's a guy named David French, who's not even a Southern Baptist. And that guy's gone completely off his rocker. And they're saying things like, well, if you support Donald Trump, you know, you're an evil person. You're not really a Christian. If you support President Trump, you're a white Christian nationalist. And if you fly the American flag in your sanctuary, that makes you a bad person. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? And I'm curious. Most churches, I'm not talking about the mega churches, you know, that look like theaters, but I'm talking about a church that looks like a church. You will have the Christian flag on one side and the American flag on another. And now they're saying, at least these woke preachers are saying, that that's a sin, that God doesn't want you to celebrate America in your church house. Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Do you have a problem with churches that fly the American flag and the Christian flag? Do you have a problem with that? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. As a matter of fact, there are some Southern Baptists who now say that Christians should not even engage in the political process. We ought to just accept whatever comes our way. I sincerely disagree with that. I call them woke evangelicals. That's what they are, woke evangelicals. All right, got to take a break here, folks. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. So in 1859, there was a geomagnetic storm, and they believe this is the worst geomagnetic storm in recorded history, 1859. They called it the Carrington Event, named after an astronomer who noticed some weird spots on the surface of the moon. And then 18 hours later, Earth was hit. Apparently, it was so wild that sparks actually flew off of doorknobs. And there was no telegraph wires were blocked, and you could see those beautiful, they called them the Northern Lights. You could see them in the South Caribbean. They're saying that Alabama, you folks in Alabama might even see the Northern Lights sometime this, either tonight or tomorrow. So anyway, our event is expected to be bad, but not as bad as the Carrington event. But we'll keep you updated. No major impacts, we don't believe, except on radio, and there might be some other issues as well. We'll get into more of that later. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Congressman Ben Klein joins us from Virginia's 6th Congressional District. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
Todd, I'm back in the 6th District, so things are going beautifully. Beautifully.
Wonderful. Well, Congressman, first of all, I want to jump in on this bill that you've introduced that would curb subsidies to some of these private universities. I think this is fascinating, seeing at George Washington University right now, you've got kids wanting to execute the faculty and the administrators.
Yeah, it's gone crazy at our colleges and universities, and the adults in the room, the university officials, are bowing to the woke mobs. They're allowing their campuses to be destroyed by these leftists who are not all of whom are from the campus. So they're coming in from outside, and we can't allow U.S. taxpayer dollars to support their cowardice. So we need to ensure that universities are not re-diverting grant money away from their intended purpose to support these DEI programs and the education indoctrination of these students. So what my bill would do, and I introduced it along with Senator Mike Lee, would cap the amount of grant money that can be re-diverted to substantive portions of the grant, the indirect costs, which end up hiding a lot of the abuses that go on with these grant programs.
Well, I'm glad that you guys are cracking down on that. And my philosophy is very simple. If you're going to allow your universities to be overrun by pro-Hamas wannabe terrorists, then I think we ought to defund you. It's really that simple in my book.
Oh, yeah. The, you know, Harvard's endowment is larger than the GDP of some NATO countries. So it's gotten to a point where they, if they want to use their endowments for their own woke programs, they can do it without the help of U.S. taxpayers.
Congressman, I want to play some audio for you. This is a Border Patrol agent, and this Border Patrol agent is really concerned about talking to the media. Cut number 9, please.
So are you more scared of ramifications from the government than you are from the cartel?
Absolutely. Look at the way you have me presented to do an interview when I'm off duty. I'm terrified to talk to the media because I'm scared of what, you know, the government could do, which obviously would be lose my job, right? Which I don't think is fair.
And, Congressman, there's a report in the Washington Examiner, the headline, top Border Patrol officials say Biden appointees silenced them for years. What is going on?
Well, the left rules through fear of reprisal and so, you know, they're trying to send messages through essentially the entire bureaucracy that you will comply. And if it's with our wrongheaded open border policy, you better not say something to the contrary. You better just go along with what we're doing and babysit all of the migrants that are coming across the border instead of actually enforcing the border, or it's going to cost your job.
It's just unacceptable what this administration is doing. And, you know, they're out there saying that, you know, accusing Republicans of wanting to stifle free speech and all this kind of nonsense, when in fact they're the ones that are actually doing it.
Yeah, if you ever want to see what the left is actually up to, look at what they're accusing the right of doing. And that's what they're doing, only 10 times worse.
Wow. I want to get your take on the Speaker Johnson surviving with the help of the Democrats, this plot by MTG and Thomas Massie. President Trump weighing in, says he loves MTG, but, you know, we've got more important things to worry about than removing Mike Johnson. Do you agree with President Trump's assessment of things?
I do. I agree with President Trump when he says there'll be a time and a place for talking about whether Speaker Johnson, you know, what the verdict is on his tenure as Speaker, and whether when we win control of the House, whether he continues as Speaker. I know him to have a conservative heart. I know that, but I also know that he has kind of fallen prey to a lot of the rhetoric from the establishment when they pull him into these rooms, the skiff, if you will, and give him all of this intelligence. Well, one of the things you know about the skiff is not neutral. The stuff you learn in the skiff is slanted in order to force you to arrive at a certain conclusion. So when he arrived at the conclusion that FISA, for example, has to be extended as a spy tool, and we can't allow a requirement, an amendment for warrants to be required before you take the information of U.S. citizens, that should be okay not to have the warrant requirement. Well, then that's wrongheaded, and I disagree with that. I hope that we can re-convince him that he should govern from his heart, from his conservative soul, and tell those establishment folks in the intelligence community that the constitutional rights of Americans come first.
And it seems to me that, you know, he's a rock star in the evangelical Christian world, and I'm wondering if maybe some of you guys could not reach out to some of those top religious leaders, and I think you probably know a lot of them, but I'm hoping maybe that, you know, they have his ear, because I'm not sure he's listening to the people he needs to be listening to these days.
Well, he recognizes, and correctly, actually, that we control by one vote one half of one branch of the federal government. And so we're hanging on not just by our fingertips, but by our fingernails, and articulating, being able to represent the conservative cause. Now, he needs to be able to articulate that conservative cause in a way that wins people to his side and wins support. And you don't do that by slow walking or soft talking our core principles, you actually stand firm in support of those core principles, life, liberty, and freedom, and make sure that we stand strong for the Constitution. And that will grow our majority in the House. That will grow, that will win our majority in the Senate, and that will win back the White House and reelect Donald Trump as president.
All right. Well, Congressman, good stuff. We'll have to leave it there. Hope you have a great weekend, and it's Mother's Day weekend. Do you have big things planned this weekend?
My daughters are anxious to pick up something for Mom this weekend so we can take her out to brunch on Mother's Day.
Love it. All right. Well, Congressman, God bless you again, and have a great weekend. Enjoy the district.
Thanks, you too, Todd.
All right. There you go, folks. Congressman Ben Klein. You know, I've heard this argument from a lot of Republicans is that they have the slimmest majority of all. They just have a one-vote majority, and therefore that's almost as if it's an apologist kind of a thing. But a majority is a majority. It doesn't matter if it's one or 101, right? They've got the majority. It would be like this. Let's just say that the Tennessee Titans are in the Super Bowl. All right, I know it's a stretch, but just follow me here for a minute. The Tennessee Titans are in, and they win the Super Bowl, but they only win by 1 point at the very end of the game. And could you imagine if the Titans coach came up at their press conference like, "Well, we only won by one." Yeah, but you know, it doesn't matter. You're a Super Bowl champion. Yeah, but we only won by a point. It's not the same. It doesn't matter. You're the winner. All right. Jeez, Lou. All right. It is Mother's Day, and you know, it's Open Line Friday. So if you've got a mother, and she's the mother of all mothers, I want you to call in and give your mom a shout out on the show, and you can wish your mom a happy Mother's Day. So we love mothers here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show. 901-260-5926. Oh, that came out wrong, didn't it? 90, we love moms on the Todd Stern Show. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Are there any good creative Mother's Day presents? Mothers, what do you want? What are you looking for, ladies and gentlemen, or ladies specifically? What are you looking for Mother's Day? Is it a card? Is it delicious candy? Oh, if you're going to do the candy, you got to check out our friends at Dinstuhl's Fine Candy. They have great candy. Dinstuhl's, Dinstuhl's in Memphis. They've been making candy here in the Mid-South area since 1902. So they've been doing this a long time. Anyway, is it candy? Is it a good meal? Is it dinner? What's a great Mother's Day present, ladies? 901-260-5926. Oh, I don't need anything. Just seeing you is the greatest Mother's Day. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. All right, let's go to Tom in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Todd. Long-time listener, several-time caller. I got two things, and I want to share with you. I was one of about 44 that were able to speak at the Georgia State Election Board meeting this Tuesday. And it was, on one hand, exciting, but at the end of the day, it was very depressing. And
why was it depressing?
Well, the end result, and I'll get to that in just a second. But let's say about 44 people were able to sign up to speak, and I was one of those. Of those, over 22 asked for the resignation of Edward Lindsay. Edward Lindsay is a lobbyist for a mail-in ballot company, and he's on the state election board.
which I didn't know, but I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, we're getting into the weeds here, Tom. I don't think our national audience is going to understand who that guy is, but why were you disappointed, and what happened at the meeting that caused you to be disappointed?
At the end of the day, there were move to action. So there was a lady that I have to believe was a Democrat attorney who's on the board, and she moved for just a resolution to reprimand Fulton County. Another lady who was a real patriot listed over 140 violations that Fulton County had done, and she, in hers, was to bring in the Attorney General's office and an independent auditor and do a real thorough investigation. That died for a lack of a second. So at the end of the day, what happened was Fulton County got a reprimand of, you really shouldn't be doing this again.
Tom, do you think?
Yeah,
go ahead, Tom. Go ahead. Yeah, you are running out of time, so you got to get to it.
Okay, I'll make it real quick. My question when I spoke was, you have seen the Halderman report. You have seen the Rossi report. You know your voter rolls are corrupt. How much evidence do you need to see before you actually do something? I got a standing ovation.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's always nice. Did they answer your question?
No, they did. Well, they died for a lack of a second. But the reason I called today is, in a call this week,
quickly,
Dave Adams from Chattanooga said, and it said so Eklund, it is not I agree with Trump, but Trump agrees with me. That's it.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you for that, and I appreciate you calling in. My apologies, but we are coming upon the top of the hour here. So, look, you know, at some point, let me ask you this. Trump gets reelected. Are you guys going to still be, you know, filing the petitions and the complaints over what happened in 2020? Will that continue? At some point, we've got to start holding these election boards accountable. And if these people, for example, in Georgia, where clearly there have been discrepancies, there have been ballots that were counted multiple times, there's a lot of weird stuff going down. And at some point, do you hold these election boards accountable? And if so, then let's get to it. It should not take this long to hold the Georgia Election Board accountable for whatever happened in 2020. It should not take that long. But it's a great big mess, and it's happening in places all over America. And yes, I believe some of it is nefarious. It was meant to happen. There were people out there trying to impact the election for the Democrats. Others, I think it may just be faulty whatever. But again, you've got to have that evidence. And if you don't have the evidence, it's just hearsay. You got to have the proof. Sounds to me in Georgia, they've got some proof. So what happens next? All right, coming up 5 o'clock tonight on Newsmax, got to watch the Todd Stern Show. We're going to have a lot of fun coming up at 5 o'clock Eastern, and you can watch that on all of the Newsmax social media platforms. That would be Facebook and YouTube, and it's a lot of fun. We actually go back and forth. I try to hop on the live chats during the commercial breaks and converse with folks, so would love for you guys to hang out with us at 5 o'clock Eastern. Also, we're going to be following the developments through the weekend on this big solar storm. What a weird story. So any updates, go to our website, and we'll keep you updated on this, quote, severe geomagnetic storm that is forecast to hit the Earth sometime today and tomorrow. They're saying there could be some power grid blackouts, internet outages, and, of course, these supercharged northern lights you could see all the way down to Alabama. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, it has been a great week here, folks. A couple of things. If you haven't done so, head over to toddstearns.com and check out our store. I would love for you to get a signed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? That's Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? I'm very honored to be able to sign a copy for you. You can also find it at your favorite bookstores. There's now an audio version of the book that is officially available. It came out earlier this week. And, of course, Monday we're going to be broadcasting all 3 hours of our show live from the studios of WDUN, our longtime affiliate there in Gainesville, Georgia. And we're going to be doing a live studio audience, so we would love for you to come out and be a part of the show. It's going to be a lot of fun. So looking forward to seeing you there in Gainesville on Monday, noon to 3. I'll be signing books and selling books afterwards. So come on down and have a good time. Folks, get out there. Have a great Friday. And you be sure to go to church this weekend.